Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. And if you are just rolling out of bed with your coffee right now, we are very glad you're here because today is a good one.
Sam here. And yeah, when I was going through the content this morning, I actually had to put the phone down for a second. The lead story is a genuine acquisition, which doesn't happen every day in this space.
It doesn't. And we are going to spend real time on it because I think it deserves that. But we've also got a lot of practical stuff today. 4 new Claude Cowork tutorials across 4 completely different departments and industries. And they're the kind of thing that I think clicks something into place for people who've been wondering what AI agent platforms actually look like in practice.
Yeah, not, here's a cool thing AI can theoretically do. More like, here is Ian from marketing. Here is exactly what he set up. Here is what it does on Monday mornings.
Specific, practical. And when you pair that with the acquisition news, I think you start to see a coherent story about where Anthropic is trying to take all of this.
We'll get into all of it. Let me just say, if you're a new listener, Claude Daily is your morning briefing on everything happening in the world of Claude and Anthropic. We cover product news, research, community conversations, what developers are building, what enterprises are deploying, the full picture.
5 days a week, 20-ish minutes, and we try to actually make it worth your time. Okay, let's get into it. Big story first. Anthropic has acquired Stainless. This was announced today, May 19th, 2026. Stainless is a company that specializes in software development kit tooling and model context protocol server infrastructure. And Anthropic is describing this as a move to extend the reach of what Claude agents can do.
Okay, so before we get into what this means strategically, can we just spend a minute on what Stainless actually is? Because I think there's a real chance some listeners are like, I've never heard of this company.
Yeah, totally fair. Stainless is not a consumer product. You would not know their name unless you were building software that integrates with AI models. They were founded in 2022, so they're a relatively young company, and their core product was tooling for 2 things: software development kits and model context protocol servers.
Right. So let's take those one at a time. Software development kits, SDKs, are the libraries and tools that developers use to connect their applications to an AI model. If you're a developer and you want to add Claude to your product, you're almost certainly using an SDK to do it.
It's essentially the bridge between your application and the AI. You call functions from the SDK, the SDK handles the communication with the model, you get the response back.
And Stainless was apparently exceptional at building these. Like, the quality and developer experience of their SDK tooling was notably good.
Which matters a lot, actually, because a bad SDK is a significant friction point for adoption. Developers get frustrated. They bounce. They go look for something easier.
Whereas a great SDK is almost invisible. It just works. You barely think about it. You focus on your application, and the SDK does what it needs to do.
And the second piece, the model context protocol server tooling, is where I think this gets really interesting. So, the model context protocol, MCP for short, though we should say the full name at least once for new listeners, is Anthropic's open standard for connecting AI models to external tools and data sources.
And this is worth dwelling on for a second, because I think it's actually the heart of why this acquisition matters. The model context protocol is what enables an AI agent to reach outside of itself. An agent isn't just thinking, it's acting. And to act, it needs to be able to read files, call application programming interfaces, update databases, pull from your calendar, post to your Slack.
All of that requires a connection, a secure, structured, reliable connection between the AI and the external system. And MCP defines how that connection works.
So if you build the best tooling for creating MCP servers, which Stainless did, you control a really critical piece of the agent infrastructure stack.
Anthropic's framing in the announcement was pointed. They said, and I want to get this right because the language is precise. The frontier of AI is shifting from models that answer to agents that act, and agents are only as capable as the systems they can reach.
That's a really sharp framing, and it tells you exactly what they're thinking, because it's not models that answer to agents that act as a throwaway line. That's a thesis statement.
It is a thesis statement. They're saying the thing that mattered before was the quality of the answers. The thing that matters now is the quality of the actions.
And actions require reach. You can have the most intelligent model in the world, but if it can't get into Salesforce, can't pull from your data warehouse, can't write to your project management tool, it can't actually do the work.
and Stainless was apparently very good at solving the reach problem.
Right, so now Anthropic owns that solution. That's a significant change in how they're positioning themselves as a company.
It is, and I think we should talk about that for a second. Anthropic has traditionally been, very deliberately, a model and research company. They've had partners and third-party developers building the infrastructure around the models.
Which is a very understandable approach early on. Focus on the thing you're best at, the model. Let the ecosystem build around you.
But this acquisition is a different posture. This is Anthropic saying, there are some layers of the stack that are too strategically important for us to leave to partners.
Vertical integration. It's a classic move in tech when you reach a certain scale and the ecosystem around you is critical enough to your core product that you can't afford to not own it.
And the timing is interesting. 2022 to 2026, 4 years. In that time, the conversation in AI went from, these models are impressive, to how do we actually deploy agents that do real work in enterprise environments?
And the bottleneck in that second conversation isn't model intelligence. I feel like I keep saying this, but it's actually true. It's not, is the model smart enough? It's, can the model connect to the right things and take reliable actions?
So they need to own the connectivity layer.
That's exactly it. You can't just hope that somebody else builds great MCP server tooling. You need to control that.
What do you think happens to the Stainless product and team going forward?
I mean, the most obvious outcome is that the Stainless SDK tooling becomes the default or even the official way to build cloud integrations. If their stuff was already good, you standardize on it. You make it the official developer path.
And the MCP server tooling gets expanded. More pre-built servers for more enterprise systems.
Right. Because right now there's a finite list of things Claude agents can natively connect to. More Stainless engineering resources means that list gets longer, faster.
More Salesforce, more Workday, more Service Now, more of the enterprise software that large organizations are actually running.
And from an enterprise sales perspective, that's huge. Because the conversation changes from, we can build an integration with your systems to, we already have one, here it is.
Which dramatically reduces the deployment friction.
Dramatically. The hardest part of enterprise software isn't getting someone to agree to buy it. It's the implementation. It's the six-month IT project. If you can shortcut that because the integrations already exist,
you change the economics of the whole deal.
And you win faster. You retain better. Because the switching costs go up when you're embedded in everything.
That's a pretty compelling strategic case for this acquisition.
I think it's actually one of the more clearly motivated acquisitions I've seen in this space in a while. It's not, we're acquiring talent, or we're buying a product to kill it. The Stainless product is core to Anthropic's core strategy. The fit is really clean.
All right, so let's hold that thread, the connectivity, the reach, the agent infrastructure, because it's going to come back when we talk about Claude Cowork. Because those two stories are genuinely connected.
They really are.
Speaking of which, Claude Cowork, 4 new tutorials out today. Let's walk through them. So first, just a quick framing for listeners who may not have heard us talk about Claude Cowork before. This is Anthropic's platform for setting up what they call skills, essentially reusable, configurable AI workflows that connect to your existing tools and run on a schedule or on demand.
And the key word there is configurable, because I think there's a temptation to think, oh, it's a template, it's a rigid thing. It's not. You define the parameters. You tell it what to look at, how to format things, when to run.
Right. The skill is like, you write it once, or more accurately, you configure it once, and then it works for you on an ongoing basis.
Which is the real leverage, time spent once, time saved repeatedly.
Okay, tutorial number one, using Claude Cowork for marketing operations. Running a weekly review that preps itself. That subtitle is doing a lot of work.
Preps itself. I love that, because that's the pain point, right? The prep.
The tutorial walks through a scenario featuring a guy named Ian. Ian works in marketing operations, and every week Ian has a meeting where he needs two things, a detailed metrics report for his team and a one-slide summary for leadership.
Which, by the way, is not a niche use case. This is like the most universal marketing experience there is. You are constantly translating the same information into different formats for different audiences.
The team wants the full picture. Leadership wants the headline.
And you're doing this every single week. Same report, different week. Slightly different numbers, and you're doing it manually every time.
So what Ian did, and this is the key thing, is he sat down once and wrote a skill. He configured it to know, where does my metrics data live? What format does the team version need to be in? What format does the leadership one pager need to be in? And when does this need to run?
And then he was done. The setup is complete. Now every week,
the skill goes and gets the data. It formats the team version. It formats the leadership version. It's waiting for Ian when he needs it.
Without Ian doing anything on Sunday night or Monday morning.
Without Ian touching it. And what I think is really important to highlight here, and this came through in the description, is that the workflow explicitly preserves human judgment at each decision point.
Which is a meaningful design choice, because you could imagine a version of this where the skill not only preps the report, but also sends it.
Right, just fires it off to leadership automatically.
And for some things, that might be fine. But for a weekly leadership report, most people would want to actually look at it before it goes out. There might be context the AI doesn't have. A campaign that bombed this week for reasons that need explanation. A metric that looks bad but isn't.
Exactly. The AI doesn't know about the PR crisis you had Wednesday. That's going to make the engagement numbers look weird.
Right. The AI is very good at here are the numbers assembled in the right format. It is less good at here is the judgment call about how leadership is going to interpret these numbers given the context of this specific week.
So the design is, skill does the grunt work, Ian does the thinking.
And Ian's job becomes substantially more interesting as a result. He's not spending his brain on copy-paste and formatting. He's spending it on interpretation and judgment.
That's actually kind of a profound shift in what the job is.
It is. And I think that's underappreciated about these workflow tools. People worry about AI taking jobs. But what these workflows are doing, at least in these examples, is taking the least interesting parts of jobs and automating those while leaving the most interesting parts to humans.
I hope you're right. I think the jury's a bit out on what this looks like at scale, but in this specific instantiation.
In this specific instantiation, Ian gets to do more of the work he presumably went into marketing to do.
Let's talk about sales, because this one has a slightly different character.
Yeah, the sales one is more about, okay, sales is a fundamentally relationship-driven job, and the AI isn't doing the relationship part. But it can dramatically improve the quality of the preparation that goes into the relationship part.
Right. So Claude Cowork has a sales plugin, and the main workflow they're showing is account research before a first call, the account research skill.
And the key thing about this is what it's pulling from. It's not just doing a Google search about the company you're about to call. It's going into your connected tools.
The customer relationship management system, the data warehouse, email history.
So it knows what your company's relationship with this account already is, what interactions have happened, what your colleagues have said about them, what deals or conversations are in the pipeline.
Which is information that exists somewhere in your organization, but finding it and assembling it is genuinely time-consuming.
Especially at larger companies where the account might have touched multiple teams. You've got sales history, you've got support tickets, you've got marketing interactions, you've got billing information. None of that is in one place.
And if you're an account executive with 10 first calls this week, you're not going to spend 2 hours researching each one.
You're going to spend 15 minutes, you're going to read the one thing that came up when you Googled them, and you're going to wing a lot of it.
Which the person on the other end of that call can feel.
Oh, they can absolutely feel it. There's nothing worse as a potential customer than talking to someone who clearly has no idea who you are or what your business does. It signals that you don't value their time.
Whereas walking into a call with real context, knowing their recent news, knowing what conversations your company has had with them, knowing the right questions to ask.
Completely changes the dynamic. You're a peer doing research, not a stranger reading from a script.
And the skill can prep that in a fraction of the time a human would take.
What about the post-call side? Because I think that's actually equally compelling.
Yeah, so there's a second skill for post-call follow-up. After the call, you've got notes, you've got action items, you've got next steps. And the skill handles turning all of that into the follow-up communication and the CRM update.
Which is, I want to be honest about this, genuinely tedious. After a good call, you're excited. You want to do the next thing. And then you have to sit down and write the follow-up email and log everything in the CRM and update the opportunity stage and...
And by the time you do all of that, your next call is starting.
Exactly. So the skill bookends the whole thing. It preps you before the call and it wraps up after the call. And the actual call, the conversation, the relationship, the listening and responding, and that's the human.
The skill handles the scaffolding around the call. The human does the call.
And I think for sales organizations, this is potentially really significant from a productivity standpoint, because the number of touches a rep can do in a week goes up without the quality going down. maybe even while quality goes up.
More calls, better prepared for each call, faster follow-up on each call.
That's a pretty compelling argument to your sales leadership.
And it's also customizable, which you mentioned before. If your sales process is different, if you're in a specific industry where there are particular data points that matter most in your pre-call research, you configure the skill for that.
Which means it's not generic. It's actually reflecting how your team does sales, not some idealized version of sales that a software vendor decided was universal.
That flexibility keeps coming up, and I think it's a real differentiator.
It's what makes these workflows actually deployable in real organizations. Real organizations are messy and particular and have weird processes for good or bad reasons. Tools that can accommodate that messiness win.
All right, let's talk about legal, because this one actually surprised me a little in how specific and well-scoped the use case is.
Tell me why it surprised you.
So legal is, you alluded to this a second ago. Legal is conservative, appropriately conservative. The stakes are real. The consequences of being wrong are serious. And the standard criticism of AI in legal contexts is, it hallucinates, it makes things up, you can't verify it.
Which is a legitimate criticism for a lot of AI applications.
Completely legitimate. But what the Claude Cowork legal workflow is doing is quite clever about that problem. It's not asking the AI to generate legal analysis from scratch. It's asking the AI to find things that already exist.
Oh, that's a really important distinction.
There's a skill called slash brief. That's the forward slash key, and then the word brief. And what it does is search across a firm's stored reviews and documents and past decisions and return cited answers.
Cited, as in, here is the answer and here is the specific document it came from.
Exactly. So if a lawyer asks, what was our position on this type of indemnification clause in past deals? The skill doesn't generate an answer. It finds the answer, finds the specific document, the specific decision, the specific language, and points to it.
So the AI's job is retrieval and presentation, not generation and reasoning.
Right. And that changes the risk profile completely. Because now the lawyer's job isn't trust what the AI says. The lawyer's job is, the AI found a potentially relevant document. Let me go read that document.
The AI is basically a research assistant, a very fast one.
A very fast one that has read all of the firm's documents and can find the relevant one in minutes.
As opposed to, a junior associate spending most of a day going through file archives?
Potentially. These are large organizations with years of documentation. Finding three similar past situations could genuinely take 6 to 8 hours of document review.
And the skill returns results in minutes with citations.
Minutes with citations.
Okay. So the time savings are real. The risk concerns are addressed by design. What's the setup look like?
The description says it's set up once, scheduled, so it presumably keeps its document index current as new materials come in. And then you just query it. You call slash brief and ask your question.
It's basically a search engine for your firm's institutional knowledge, which is actually a thing firms have been trying to build forever and never quite getting right.
Because building a good search tool over unstructured legal documents is genuinely hard. And this is essentially that. Powered by a model that understands legal language and can do semantic search rather than just keyword matching.
So, what's our position on limitation of liability clauses? We'll surface relevant documents even if they don't use those exact words.
Right. It understands what you're asking, not just what words you used.
That's actually a pretty big deal for legal research, because legal language is not consistent. The same concept gets written 100 different ways across 100 different documents.
And this system can find them all.
I want to circle back to the Stainless acquisition for a second here. Because for this workflow to work, for the slash brief skill to search across the firm's documents, Claude needs to be able to actually connect to wherever those documents are stored.
Right, a document management system, maybe SharePoint, maybe some proprietary system the firm uses.
And that connectivity, that's exactly the problem that MCP server tooling solves. You need a model context protocol server that knows how to talk to your document management system.
So Stainless was building the thing that enables the thing.
Exactly. The legal slash brief skill is only as useful as the connections it can make to the right document stores. And those connections are what Stainless was specializing in.
And now Anthropic owns that piece, so they can expand those connections faster, more reliably, more securely.
For a law firm, securely is not a small word.
Not a small word at all. These documents are privileged. They are confidential. The security and permissions model of how Claude accesses them is not a footnote.
It's potentially the deciding factor in whether a firm will even consider deploying this.
Which I think Anthropic knows. and which is another reason why owning the infrastructure layer matters.
If you're going to sell to legal, if you're going to sell to financial services, to healthcare, to anyone in a regulated industry, you need to be able to make very specific and credible promises about how the data is handled. And you can only do that if you control the stack.
All right, let's close out the co-work tutorials with the small business one, which has a different energy from the other three.
Yeah, it does. The other three are all about specific professional roles: the marketing ops manager, the account executive, the lawyer. This one is more like, here is an entire type of business owner.
Right. So the small business plugin for Claude Cowork, and plugin is worth noting as a word because it implies modularity. It implies you add this to your existing Cowork setup. Integrates Claude with the tools that small business owners are actually running their businesses on.
And they listed specific tools, which I appreciated. QuickBooks, PayPal, HubSpot, Canva, Slack, calendar, and email platforms.
That is a very representative stack. That is not a hypothetical list of tools. That is the actual software that a real small business owner opens every day.
And notice what that list represents. QuickBooks is your accounting. PayPal is your payments. HubSpot is your customer relationships. Canva is your marketing materials. Slack is your team communication.
The full operating system of a small business.
And critically, this is not a developer toolkit. QuickBooks and Canva and PayPal are not tools for engineers. These are tools for a restaurant owner, a freelance designer, a retail shop, a small consulting firm.
People who are running a business and wearing five hats and don't have an engineering team to build bespoke integrations.
Right. And I think that's who this is really for. Because the vision of AI that helps with work has been pretty disproportionately oriented toward technical users, the people who can set up APIs and write a bit of code to connect things.
And this is saying, no, actually, the person who most needs their operational friction reduced is the solo founder or the small team that's already at capacity, just keeping the lights on.
The owner who closes the shop, counts the till, answers the emails, does the bookkeeping, and then has to plan next month's marketing campaign.
Without an ops team, without a marketing department, without an analyst.
And the plugin sets up four specific workflows for them. The first is the Monday business brief.
Which is start of the week, here's where you stand. Pull from the accounting data, the payment data, maybe the CRM pipeline. Give the owner a clear picture of how the business is doing before the week begins.
Which sounds simple, but is genuinely valuable. Because for a small business owner, getting that overview might currently require opening four different apps and mentally doing the math yourself.
And instead, it's just there on Monday morning.
The second workflow is campaign planning, which pulls from HubSpot and probably Canva integration, helps you actually structure a marketing plan.
And I want to dwell on that for a second, because campaign planning is one of those things that small business owners know they should be doing and almost never get to.
Because you're so in the weeds of running the business that zoom out thinking is incredibly hard to prioritize. The urgent always beats the important.
Having a system that scaffolds the planning work for you, that pulls together the relevant data and structures the thinking, could actually mean the difference between having a marketing plan and not having one.
And for a small business, that's a meaningful competitive difference.
The third and fourth workflows. From the description, it sounds like meeting prep and a financial snapshot. Meeting prep probably pulls calendar context and CRM information before client meetings. The financial snapshot is giving you a clear picture of your cash position.
And for a small business, cash flow and calendar are genuinely the two most important things to have visibility into at any given moment.
They are the whole job. If you know when your money is coming in and when your commitments are due, you can make every other decision from there.
And if you don't know those things clearly, you're guessing. And guessing wrong in a small business is really costly.
So the plugin is essentially, here are the four most important things to have clear visibility into. And here's Claude Cowork making sure you have that clarity without you having to go chase it down manually.
I keep thinking about the range here. We've gone from a large law firm doing document research to a small retailer checking their weekly cash position. Same platform, same underlying system.
Completely different scales. Completely different industries. Completely different use cases.
Which tells you something about the design of the system. The workflow model is flexible enough to serve both of those contexts without being specifically optimized for either.
And I think that's the bet. That the right level of abstraction for an AI agent platform is above specific industries and departments. It's at the level of connect to your tools, run your workflow, respect your judgment.
Connect, run, respect. That could be the product tagline.
I'll pitch it. All right, let's zoom out. I want to talk about how today's stories connect, because I don't think it's coincidental.
It's definitely not coincidental.
Walk me through it.
Okay. So Anthropic is making two moves simultaneously, and they're deeply related. Move one, the Stainless acquisition. That's infrastructure. That's about making sure the connective tissue between Claude and the world's systems is as robust and extensive as possible. More tools reachable, better developer experience, more MCP servers covering more enterprise software.
And move two?
Move two is Claude Cowork and all of these tutorials. That's about proving, in practice, with real departments and real use cases, that Claude agents can actually handle real work. Not demos, not proof of concepts, the marketing manager's actual Monday morning report, the lawyer's actual document research.
And the two moves reinforce each other.
They reinforce each other in a very specific way, because the Claude Cowork workflows are only as powerful as the connections they can make. The legal/brief skill doesn't work unless Claude can get into the document management system. The sales account research skill doesn't work unless Claude can get into the CRM. The small business brief doesn't work unless Claude can read from QuickBooks.
So every workflow tutorial they publish is effectively an argument for why the Stainless acquisition was necessary.
Exactly, and every new connection that Stainless enables is a potential new workflow for Cowork. The two things are a flywheel.
The line from the acquisition announcement keeps coming back to me. Agents are only as capable as the systems they can reach.
That's the whole strategic thesis right there. And what's interesting is it reframes what the competition in AI really is. Because for the last few years, everyone's been competing on model intelligence. Who has the best reasoning, the best coding, the best writing?
And Anthropic is still competing on that dimension.
Of course. But they're also saying model intelligence is table stakes. The differentiation is reach. Can the agent actually touch the systems you use? Can it take real actions in the real world?
Which is a very different race than who has the smartest model.
It's a race about integrations, about developer experience, about enterprise infrastructure. And that race is won differently. It's won by owning critical pieces of the stack, hence Stainless. It's won by having pre-built connections to the software companies actually use. It's won by having tutorials and playbooks that reduce the barrier for deployment.
And Anthropic is making moves on all three of those dimensions.
Simultaneously. Which is the thing I find most interesting about today. This isn't one story. This is multiple moves in a coherent strategy becoming visible at the same time.
The acquisition announces the infrastructure bet. The tutorials demonstrate the product payoff.
And together they tell you, Anthropic believes the AI agent platform is the prize, not just the AI model.
Which is a company-defining belief.
It is. And it's a belief that requires this kind of vertical integration. You can't just be the model company that runs on someone else's infrastructure. If you believe agents are the future and reach determines capability, you need to own the reach layer.
And you need to show people what reach looks like in practice, which is what the Cowork tutorials are doing.
Ian's Monday morning report, the lawyer's slash brief query, the account exec who walks into a first call with everything they need.
Real work, real people, real time saved.
That's how you build a platform company. Not by explaining what the technology can theoretically do, by showing what actual people are actually doing with it.
All right, I think that's a really strong note to sit with. Any final observations before we close out?
Just one. I've been watching the Claude Cowork tutorial cadence really closely, and what I'm noticing is that the tutorials are getting more specific, more detailed, more department level. And that usually means real customers are using these workflows and providing feedback.
You don't write a tutorial about Ian from marketing if you haven't talked to people who are actually doing what Ian does.
Right. The specificity is a signal. You can only get that specific when you've got real usage data and real user stories to draw from.
Which means the adoption is ahead of what's publicly visible.
I think so. And when you combine that with an infrastructure acquisition designed to dramatically expand what Claude agents can reach, I think we are genuinely in the early innings of enterprise AI agent automation becoming a mainstream thing. Not a pilot. Not a proof of concept. Mainstream.
And Anthropic is betting that when it goes mainstream, they're going to be the platform it runs on.
Bold bet, not an unreasonable one.
We'll be tracking it every morning. That is Claude Daily for Tuesday, May 19th, 26. I'm Alex.
I'm Sam. Thanks so much for starting your morning with us. It genuinely means a lot that you're here.
New episode every weekday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss one. And if you're finding the show useful, tell someone who should be listening.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a great Tuesday, everyone.